Hello, everyone. This is Deborah Rue, and this is Human Potential at Work. As a reminder, I'm the CEO of Rue Global Impact. We are changing our name from Rue Global Communications to Rue Global Impact because it's a little bit more descriptive of what we do. So welcome to the show. I believe my guest today is my youngest guest so far. His name is Brandon Farbisine. And if I said that incorrect, Brandon, you'll have to correct me. He is 19 years old. And I had the pleasure to hear Brandon speak when, gosh, he might have been 12 or 13. And he really impressed me at the time, and he's continued to impress me. He has a book called 10 Feet Tall, which I highly recommend, and I'm blessed to have a version that has a signed copy from him. And I really am excited about talking to Brandon because Brandon is a Gen Z activist. So Gen Z is the generation behind the millennials, and boy, they're coming out with real power in these conversations, so it's very exciting. He was diagnosed with a rare form of dwarfism at the age of 2, and he stands 3.9, making his life's journey full of adversity and challenges. At the same time, though, he's used this to transform his life and other people's lives. So it's very exciting to watch him really find his power and to use his power to help other people. I also love that the name of his book is 10 Feet Tall, even though Brandon is 3.9. So last summer, he toured the country with March for Our Lives, empowering youth across the country to make their voices be heard. And he was named in Instagram and Tiger Beats 19 under 19 as one of the 19 most influential teens. Brandon's the author, once again, of 10 Feet Tall, and millions of people around the globe have been inspired by his universal message of living life in our own terms. So I'm very excited about our guest today. And I want to be maybe one of the first to introduce you to this man, but I will tell you, you're going to hear a lot more about Brandon over the years. I think he's going to really make a difference in the world he already has. And I'm excited to see what else he can do. So Brandon, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate all of the kind words.
Yes. And Brandon, I gave just a little overview of you, but tell us more about who you are. Tell us more about your journey and also tell us more about your book. And I love how you've got it right behind you so we can all see it very clearly. Yeah. I know that I owe you a review on Amazon as a reminder. Please buy the book, but please do reviews. Reviews for our books make a big difference in how it gets ranking and how people can find it. So Brandon, tell us more about you and your book.
So you mentioned I was diagnosed with dwarfism, and my life has definitely been one of uncertainty because my form of dwarfism is so rare that there are less than 100 cases reported in medical history. So that is a very crazy number when you think about how few people that actually is. And what that translates into is doctors not having answers, not knowing the prognosis or the outlook of what my life is going to be like, how my mobility is going to be challenging me, things like that. But what I've learned now is everybody is full of uncertainty. You don't need to have a rare medical condition in order to get out of that, in order to realize that uncertainty is a constant in life and it doesn't have to hold us back. But I felt truly invisible for the first 15 years of my life. I felt like I just had no purpose and no point of dealing with all of the pain and the challenges that came my way on a daily basis. But all of that changed for me when I was invited to give a TEDx talk. And that was literally the start of the rest of my life, because it was in that moment that I discovered my purpose, which is to shift the lens through which people see the world and themselves. And I also discovered my passion and what fired me up, what fueled me in a way that nothing else had before. And it's truly when everything else began, with my speaking, my advocacy, my activism. And it's really cool to look back at that one moment and see the things that have came out of it, and never imagining the things that you've been able to accomplish since you were in that place.
Yes. And, you know, Brandon, I think it's fascinating listening to you because you're 19 years old. At 19 years old, I did not have a clue to what I was doing. As a matter of fact, I remember when my daughter was born with Down syndrome when I was 28 years old, I remember thinking, what does this mean to my life? Is this going to change the trajectory of my life? Because right. at the time I was in the banking and always have been in the technology fields, but I was in banking and technology. And so I find it fascinating that you started figuring it out at 15, because I felt just me a little clueless at 15.
Yeah.
I think that's something that I'm seeing more and more. I'm seeing younger activists really owning who you are and what you can contribute to the world. And I believe that when I was 15, 16, 17, 19, it never occurred to me that I could really have a big impact on the world. I was just sort of getting by day by day. You know, I was worried about what you worry about at those times. And so I'm seeing it more and more. We see Greta, you know, from Belgium,
yes.
who was nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize. And she has autism, and she's the one that is the brainchild behind Climate Strike, where yes. students are striking all over the world, bravo, saying, we are sick of talking about mm-hmm. it. We need action. This is our world.
Yeah.
You guys are going to, you know, age and pass away, and you're leaving us this.
We're next.
Right. And you're behind the millennials,
yes.
which are very active and active.
Right.
So, and also it's fascinating to me because I just had a show, a couple of episodes again, with the president of Siemens, Rob, and we were talking about unconscious bias, but we were also talking about them having 375,000 employees in 190 countries.
Wow.
And they have five generations working
yeah.
for them. So that's the generations
incredible.
Fuss and fight with each other.
Right.
And when I was young, which I'm not anymore, but that's okay. When I was young, Brandon, I often felt really discounted often mm-hmm. in business conversations, pretty much people saying, yeah, whatever. You're too young. Sit down. You have no experience.
Right.
What can you add to the conversation? And your generation seems to be saying, I'm not just going to sit down and be quiet.
Move over.
Move over. I got something to say and
yeah.
I will join your conversation.
Correct.
I'm not
and I want to add value to it.
Right. I'm not going to say, be quiet, Deborah, shut up. You're a woman of a certain age, go away.
Right.
I'm going to say, no, I belong here too.
Yes.
So I love that. So do you mind exploring that a little bit more?
Yeah, absolutely.
Why? Why do you know that you need to help change the world at such a young age, Brandon? I'm very impressed.
Thank you. Thank you. I think what happened to me was that it found me. So everybody is always talking about purpose and asking all of these important questions. Why are we here? Why do we experience the things that we go through? And obviously we can't get those answers, but we can try and find out what lights us up and what really fills us up in a way that nothing else does. And I think that's what leads us to our purpose. So something that I'm always telling youth when I give my speeches is that stop being so focused on trying to find your purpose, trying to find that answer to life, because it's going to take going through grit and getting through experiences that are extremely painful in order for you to discover who you are and then tap into that purpose. But be super focused on discovering who you are and become obsessed with becoming the best version of yourself and laying the bricks now to allow yourself to have a life of absolute greatness. And of course, teaching the importance of empathy and inclusion and making an impact every single day, no matter how big or small it might be. And to see the gears start to turn in the heads of my audiences is so incredible. And it, to know what I need to do every single day in this world, at least where I am right now, and to have a mission, it is the most incredible thing. And that, I think, is kind of the backbone of why I'm able to deal so well with the adversity that has come my way. It's not just about overcoming things, but it's about making something out of your experiences and using what you've been given, no matter what your challenges are. And I'm just so lucky to be able to do that every single day, not only to youth, but also to so many different backgrounds, including Fortune 500 companies and seminars and business conferences, and just letting people know that if you shift your perspective just a little bit sometimes, that can be the biggest difference to transform your life.
Well, and now y'all understand why Brandon's on the show, because he is amazing. But Brandon, if you don't mind, do you mind, let's dig in a little bit into the adversities, because so a lot of people know dwarfism, and dwarfism, of course, would be considered a little person, which is what is appropriate terms that we in the United States. But tell us a little bit more just about the journey that you've taken, because some people might assume that, you know, you're 3'9". So that's, you know, no big deal. I have a feeling there's a little bit more to the story than that.
Right. So I'll preface it by saying, me personally, I'm in a very good place medically where I don't deal with a lot other than issues with my bones and my joints. So I'm extremely blessed. But my specific form is called metatropic dysplasia. And those born with a severe form of it usually pass away before the age of 5 because their spine just can't handle the organs being normal sized. And when I found that out, I have to say that really grounded me. And it kind of centered me into realizing how much of a gift my life is and how lucky we all are to wake up every single day. And so there are other forms that deal with extensive health problems, including breathing issues and heart problems and digestive problems and all the slew of things. But yeah, for me specifically, what it looks like is a lot of pain every single day, unfortunately, just in my joints and my bones. And I must say, as I've been on this personal development journey, I've trained my mind to handle pain in a whole new way. And I've been probably in about 10% of the pain that I used to be in because I've been able to train my mind. And I know that sounds a little crazy, but I think pain really is in the mind mostly. But what I do to deal with it is I try and seek out the answers that work for me personally. So yes, I have conversations with my doctors and they give me suggestions and things that may work for other people, but obviously those other people aren't dealing with the exact circumstances and the chemistry of my body. So it's a lot of tinkering and applying something and then shifting it, seeing if it works, and if it doesn't, moving on to something else. So you have to not psych yourself out into thinking you're never going to feel better or you're never going to seek out the answer that works. It's just about going through that toolbox, seeing the exact thing that you need in order to tweak something so that you feel better.
Wow, that's very powerful. And I think it's my daughter, I've had multiple shows talking about chronic pain, and Kate Nichols was a woman that I was talking to about chronic pain and the opiate epidemic. And I would recommend people going back and listen to that episode. She's an amazing woman. But at the time, and I was talking about this, Brandon, I did not realize my daughter, Sarah, had been dealing with chronic pain. The blessing of her Down syndrome is that she can take more pain than other people.
Oh, and wow. I didn't know
that. Blessing, but it's the curse, right? Yeah. Because she can do it, she doesn't tell me when she's in pain. And pain, of course, is a way for us to know there's a cue that our bodies are telling us something. And so it's fascinating, but I don't think it sounds crazy when you say you have learned to use mind techniques and different techniques. And once again, highly, highly recommend the book where he talks about this journey, but where you talk about how you're dealing with it and what it is and what it means. And I'm just really fascinated with, once again, I'm fascinated with your mind and your journey. I'm working a lot, blessed to work with the Valuable 500 under the leadership of Dr. Caroline Casey, coming out of Ireland. And she is working with some pretty significant CEOs like Sir Richard Branson and Paul Pullman and Janet Rico and others to put disability inclusion on the boardroom agenda. And one thing that they want to do in these efforts, they want to make sure that young people like you, Brandon, are at the table and speaking for themselves, because I can speak for you on to a point. And then there's so much value in giving the microphone to you and letting you speak for yourself and your peers. And so I will be pulling you into some of those conversations as well as other peers. But the world has shifted, and I'm glad it shifted, and we are now recognizing that voices like yours are really, really powerful in these conversations, because we talk about disability inclusion, we talk about accessibility, we talk about, you know, all these different things. We talk about the sustainable development goals, but we need to make sure that each person can speak for themselves and speak about their unique journeys, and we can learn from those journeys. So I'd like you to just talk a little bit more about the book, why you wrote the book, what you hope to achieve from the book, and then we're going to talk a little bit more later about next steps.
Absolutely. So the book was a really interesting mixture for me to come up with of both my own personal story. So sharing how I got through the hardships and the potholes that you feel like you can't get out of, but also how you can apply that too. And it's transformational tools that actually work and that I've used on myself, which is really cool to apply to so many different problems, because at the end of the day, we're all suffering. We're all going through something and we have something quote unquote wrong with us. So let's stop focusing on all of the things that differentiate us and that spread us apart. And let's start focusing on the things that actually matter and connecting with other human beings. And I talk in the book about having an A team. And what that means is having people in your life that support, love, care, cheer you on for you. And people that don't drain you, that when you're around them, they lift you up. So whether it's composed of friends, family, neighbors, coworkers, teammates, anybody that in your life lifts you up, those are the people that you need to focus on. Not individuals on social media that are constantly complaining about how much their life sucks or about how bad politics are or whatever. We need to start focusing on our energy more and the time and the efforts that we're putting into things that don't really matter.
So you can't do anything about them too. A lot of those things that we're all worried about. It's like,
exactly.
Are we going to close the Mexican border? I hope not, but do I have any say? Nope. I don't.
Right. Right. Exactly. And I feel like that principle also needs to be applied to so many other factors too. And I especially want to put an emphasis on this with my generation. We have control problems in terms of wanting things to be different and expecting them just to change without anything happening. But on the flip side of that, I'm a part of an incredible group of young people that are actually taking action and doing things to be the change. So it's interesting to see the dynamics and how this generation is kind of stepping into the rhythm and the flow. And really, we are showing the workforce that we are about to come in full force. And if you are not bringing us into the conversation and you're not making the adaptations that we need, you are not going to continue. We are not going to support your business. So it's,
which I love that, because, you know, we didn't have, I'll tell you, I'm the baby boomer generation, and and it's an interesting generation because it's 20 years. I mean, it's 1946 to 1964, and And this generations were activists. They were, you know, burning their bras and cutting their hair and growing their hair. And
that, right.
And then they started, we started, you know, focusing on raising our children and blah, 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 all the stuff. And it's like, oh, we almost forgot, you know, what we needed to do. And then you had the generation, you know, behind us. And then you had the millennials. The millennials are amazing. And the millennials started saying, well, wait a minute, what? This is ridiculous. Let's do something. But your generation, you're not, I'm just amazed by your generation.
And the world has never seen young people activate in the way that we have, especially in the last 2 or 3 years when millions of us have registered to vote. We've actually voted. We voted a lot of politicians out of office. We're going to continue doing so. And to show
Thousand
young people.
Yes.
Yeah. You just need to give other people the tools and the example of how to do it so they could see it's possible. Anybody can say that they can change the world, but let's show how to actually do it. You don't need to have some huge platform with millions of followers or tons of money in order to truly make a lasting impact. And sometimes it starts with the one simple thing that you can do for somebody else every single day, whether it is waving to somebody that you pass by, or it's sending a text to a friend that you're thinking about them and that you'd love to chat with them. Something so small means the most to us. And we got to do more of that. We really do.
You know, I grew up with a mom. My mom's passed now, but my mom had borderline personality disorder. And my poor mom, she always saw evidence of the glasses half empty. And she was very sad. And I remember as a little girl, I would try to see how many people I could smile to and see how often they would smile back to me. Just because it was the one thing I thought I could control. Yeah. But I'd like to talk about a few things that your generation is dealing with. And all of the generations have dealt with this in smaller ways than others, but you are totally a digital native.
Yes.
I mean, all this has happened since you were born.
Exactly.
And cyberbullying and, you know, bullying in general and online bullying. And my daughter is 31, my son is 30. So they're millennials.
Right.
And when they were in school, some of this stuff was out, you know, so the internet was there, social media was starting there, you know, MySpace was the first one. And we actually took a young lady in that got in trouble with her family. They were going to send her to reform school, whatever, you know. And I took a young girl in at the time to our family. And I had some of these problems with her. She was saying things online that were horrible. And the girls were saying it right back. And I remember thinking, wow, the world has changed. How do I deal with it? But it's all changed. So how's your generation dealing with this cyberbullying, this, you know, what you can say whatever you want online. Well, should you though? I mean,
yeah.
So I know you talk about this.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've also dealt with it extensively. I'll cover that first because I want to show and talk about, something that I'm very proud of that I've done as a result of being severely cyberbullied. But in high school, the cyberbullying started the very first week of my freshman year. And I felt like I had a big target on my back every single day. And it just got to the point where the toxic energy and the emotions that it was giving me piled on too much, to so many aspects of my life, and I couldn't handle it. So after all the death threats started coming for whatever reason, including anti-Semitic and making fun of how disgusting I look, saying I'm never going to find anyone to love me, just the most disgusting things that you could say to another human being. And I realized that I couldn't let something so toxic take over my life anymore. So I had a conversation with my parents and I said, I have to make a change and I would like to start online school. So That started halfway through my junior year, and it ended up being one of the greatest things that's ever happened to me, because not only was I able to become a professional speaker at the age of 17, but since I've now gotten 2 anti-bullying laws passed in the state of Virginia, because I said, I'm not letting another kid go through this. I'm going to use what I've been given and do something with it. And I hope that that's an inspiration to people, not to say, look what I've been through, but an inspiration to say, look what you can do when you make possibilities out of things that you thought led to a dead end.
Right. And so just to explore that a little bit more, so you've gotten, you and I both live in the Commonwealth of Virginia, and I love living here. Tell us more about how you did that, because it sounds like a pretty big job, Brandon, to have laws created about cyberbullying.
So my family became close with a delegate from Northern Virginia. And so in Virginia, delegates are our state lawmakers. And so we called her when I was going through the severe battle with cyberbullying, and the high school wasn't doing anything to help me, and the police weren't doing anything to prosecute the people that were sending me death threats. So we were kind of at a loss to what to do. But also we all had the mindset, myself and my parents, that we wanted to try and create something out of the experience, because obviously if there are all these loopholes, then let's see what we can do to address the loopholes. So we called her up, we explained the situation, and then a couple weeks later we heard back from her that she drafted a new law that requires school administrators to alert parents within 5 days of an investigation of what is going on. So that's one of those things that you kind of have to scratch your head and think, why is that a law? Why is that not common sense for administrators to let parents know what's going on with their children? But you know what? It is what it is. It's another stepping stone that helps us deal with the epidemic of cyberbullying, online harassment, the disconnection and the loneliness that it's like all this cocktail that we consume every single day, and more it's taking control of our life. And what really terrifies me, Deborah, about this generation is that we are so disconnected from each other. Right. We don't know how to have human connections because our phones have taken over our social skills and our ability to go up to somebody and shake their hand. So I think that is an emphasis that I'm going to continue making to the platform that I have in sharing to youth that, yes, social media is an incredible tool, but you know what's even better? Human connections. The people that are actually going to get you through life, because we can't do anything alone. So, you know, it's scary, but at the same time, it gives me a lot of hope what's to come out of this generation, because we are leading by example and we're going at full force to repair the damage that has been done by the generations before us.
And I will also say that some of these laws have to be created because our world is very different now. And when I was in school, you know, the way we bullied each other was very different than the way people bully each other now. And I know that part of the reason why you were bullied is because you're perceived as being different, and Lord forbid you're Jewish.
Yes.
I mean, long history of that. Yeah. But I think, you know, and I hear generations saying sometimes, well, these new generations are so bratty, they're so in their devices, they don't care. And I think these are all new things that we've created in our societies, and there's some beauty to them, but there's some really, really, really scary parts to them. And now we're talking about artificial intelligence when at the same time we're talking about, oh, yay, we're going to eradicate Down syndrome by aborting the babies in 2 weeks. Well, I am not sure we are conscious enough. We are evolved enough in our consciousness to decide that the world's going to be a better place without people like my daughter. I just really disagree with that. And to me, this is not a conversation about pro-life, pro-choice. It's not, that's not It's right. the deciding that people don't fit the bill because
yes.
is terrifying to me. And right. who comes next? First, we come for the Down syndrome. Then we come for the, so in deciding who is perfect, I think you are a wonderful example of just somebody that is using your adversity to change the world. And you're using your voice and you're 19. And I think, once again, you know, the damage the generations have done before, you said. I don't know so much that it's damage that we've all done. I think we've all done the best we can to a certain point. But I think part of the problem is that we've been so worried about protecting ourselves and maybe our families
yeah.
instead of looking at this, how do we protect everybody? How do we make the world better for everyone? When we, in looking from a U.S. lens, and I... there's 86 countries that watch this program. And so this is not just about the U.S., but just looking at it from the lens of the United States, you know, there's so much that we're doing and so much that we need to do.
Yeah.
But I do not consider myself, just politically, I will not align with either one of the parties, the Republicans mm-hmm. or the Democrats. I just cannot. I align as an American and as a global citizen. And so I'm going to vote for the candidate. I traditionally vote, you know, a typical way, but I vote on the candidates, not because they're Democrats or Republicans, but because what they're saying that they will do are the issues that really matter to me.
Yeah.
And so I think we need to do a better job of talking about these issues from a global voice, from the U.S. perspective, if we live in the U.S., from the Virginia, the states, blah, blah, blah. And it seems to me that I know that a lot of the conversations that I'm having, I'm making sure that voices like yours are being heard by a different audience. And I think there's so much we all can do together, which is why I'm so impressed with the work you do. But Brandon,
thank you so much.
So I know, you know, I always go a little long when I get excited about the conversations, but so a couple of things. I want you to talk about what you can do to help, you know, with the conversations. I know that you're a speaker. You can join other conversations. You can speak for your generation. You can join other generations. And I also want to make sure that the audience knows, you know, how to follow you on social media, about your website. Once again, your book is on Amazon and others, but you can learn more about it on your website. But I just want to give you time to talk about, you know, all of these things that I just threw at you.
Yeah. The role that I really love to play is not being an inspiration because I have a disability and not going to businesses or to conferences or wherever I'm invited to speak and saying, you can overcome anything, you can do anything, and then leaving. It's about tangible tools that not only have I picked up through my own experience, but through the work that I've done in the personal development field over the last couple of years. I've been guests of Tony Robbins and Brendan Burchard and people that are the best at what they do. And so that combined with being an advocate and using my own experience for that, combined with the experience that I have in being a speaker that is not only able to come in with a great story and get people moved by just that, but I also can combine all of that incredible knowledge that probably is worth millions that I've learned from those greats. But I think right now what I'm most passionate about is, yes, I love speaking to corporate executives, and I love speaking to people that are going through things through whatever their means are. But the thing that I'm most passionate about is empowering young people because we truly need as much help as we can get. And I'll be very honest with that. I think that it doesn't have to be me, but as long as somebody is able to teach youth empathy, to teach them empowerment, that they can be the change, they can leave an impact. we just need to do more of that. And again, whether I'm the change agent in that role or it's somebody else, that is okay. But this message needs to get blasted to as many people as possible. So that being said, you can connect with me online, either on Instagram, which is just my last name, at Farbstein, F-A-R-B-S-T-E-I-N, or my Facebook page, which is just Brandon Farbstein. And for my book, it is on Amazon. Just search 10 Feet Tall. And if I can ever serve and add value to something that you are a part of, whether it is an event, a corporation, a school, whatever it might be, please reach out at my website, just BrandonFarbstein.com.
Wow. So you see what I see. This is very, very, very exciting. This is how we change the world. We bring Brandon in the room. We bring all the Brandons in the room. And I have another young woman that's coming on, I believe next week. And she started this when she was 11, and she's another incredible story. So I think the other day on Twitter, a white privilege was trending on Twitter. And I thought, do you have the nerve to go in there, Deborah? And I thought, yes, I have the nerve to go in. And I saw the comments. They were ridiculous comments. Yeah. But I went in, I said, with my white privilege, I am opening the doors for others to be heard. That is what I'm doing. And also, I'm privileged to have been born in the United States in a developed country. So we all have privileges. How are you using yours? How are you taking your obstacles and your adversities and turning it into something great? I think Brandon's a wonderful example of that. So I hope you'll join me in buying his book, reviewing his book, including him in conversations. He's on my radar, and I'm going to keep bringing him into conversations, and he gives me a lot of hope. So Brandon, thank you so much for being on the program today.
Appreciate it.
I can't wait to see who you're going to be at 30 and 40. I might have to be looking, you know, from another place to see you in those things. But I'm really, really excited about your voice. And so I appreciate what you've done. And I can't wait to watch you do even more. So thank you for being on the show today.
Thank you so much. It's been fun.
Yes. Bye, everyone.